Good morning once again. It's been my delight to be here this weekend. I have been inspired. If you weren't here to hear some of the stories and accounts of what our missionaries are doing here and abroad, then you missed some exciting things, and maybe you'll catch up on some of those stories as time goes on. But I've been delighted to be here. I don't always get a chance to visit missionaries in our own denomination, and so it's wonderful for me to hear what God is doing around the world. May I do one thing, Pastor, and that is to have those from the church who shared this week, who have been on a short-term missions trip, would you all stand? Those of you from the church who shared, young and old, there are several of you here. I'm waiting for you. Okay. These folk need applause, too, and there are a lot more of them who aren't here today for this group. Oh, there they are. Some up there they are, but I didn't see the balcony up there. And some really inspiring stories came from your own congregation. And I have been pleasantly surprised. I knew I'd be pleasantly surprised, but I was really pleasantly surprised to hear some of the great things God is doing here. I want to take just a minute to explain who I am. My name is Doug, and in the military chaplain corps, we always go by a chaplain, by the way. Rank is kind of minor because we want people to know we're chaplains, we're representatives of God. And so it's been my honor to be a chaplain in the United States Army for almost 31 years. I retired in 2008 and took over the job I'm currently doing, which is a ministry to chaplains and to find chaplains. You can't be a chaplain in the military or in federal institutions or in many, many, many civilian hospitals, prisons, hospice ministries, and so on, unless you are endorsed by a recognized faith group. Well, those of you who are part of the Presbyterian Church of America, you'll be happy to know you are a recognized faith group. And you have an endorser, and that's me. And I also endorse for six other like-minded denominations called the Presbyterian Reformed Commission on Chaplains and Military Personnel. So it's my job to be the final signature, to let the government know that this is a legitimate clergyman, and they cannot be a chaplain unless they are endorsed, and we go through the presbyteries and interview process and so on. So that's what I do full-time. The biggest part of my missionary job is to really pastor and coach and help the missionaries who are our chaplains. So I do much what Reverend Jordan has done here today, which is to visit folk around the United States and the world and visit those chaplains and encourage them because they are a long way from home. They're away from their church families and so on. So I do a lot of traveling. And as I told my kids, when they asked me what I do, what in the world is an endorser, Dad? My adult children, I say, well, what I do is I catch, credential, care, and cover chaplains. I recruit them, credential them, care for them, and then cover their backs, especially in this age of changing times and cultural changes, and particularly focusing and ensuring they have religious liberty that our First Amendment affords. That's just a brief thing. So I want you to know that in the back, if you haven't seen one of these, this church has been very much a chaplain champion church, a 3C church, Pastor. You're a 3C church. Chaplain champion church has put out these guardian prayer letters in the back for a while. If you don't know what chaplains do and want to find out and want to pray for them, grab one of these on your way out. If you want to put a brochure on your refrigerator, we have brochures for you just to remind yourselves to pray for chaplains. Just want to mention we have those things in the back. I'd love to not take so many home with me. And to also let you know there's a vehicle out there for you to know what chaplains are doing. Those of you who are family folk, you'll find this guardian is a remarkable thing to have maybe around the dinner table to share with your kids as to what chaplains are doing around the world. Navy, Army, Air Force, hospital chaplains, prison chaplains, police chaplains, motorcycle chaplains. The national chaplain of the Vietnam Combat Vets Motorcycle Association is one of our PCA teaching elders, and he's doing a great job at that. So it's an exciting field, and it's a mission field. And what our chaplains do is just what you've heard from other missionaries here today and the short-term missionaries as well, and that is we bring Jesus into the conversation. That's what we try and do. All right? All right. Thank you for paying attention. Like you too, if you want to, you can just listen or you can take your Trinity hymnal and turn to page 850. Kind of a preface to my sermon. This is what this is. A preface to my sermon. I'm going to read to you a paragraph from chapter 3 of our statement of faith and chapter 5 of our statement of faith as a preface to my remarks today. You've actually been hearing some of these excerpts from our statement of faith and the hymns you've sung this morning and the prayers that have been prayed. And I think you'll see what I mean when you hear these words from, first of all, chapter 3 of God's Eternal Decree, paragraph 1. So, Eagle Heights Presbyterian Church, this is what you believe. You believe that God, from all eternity, did, by the most wise and holy counsel of His own will, freely and unchangeably ordain some of the things that come to pass. Doesn't say that, does it? He ordains whatsoever comes to pass. Yet so, as thereby neither is God the author of sin, nor is violence offered to the will of the creatures, nor is the liberty or contingency of second causes taken away, but rather established. And it took me a long time to learn what that last part of that paragraph meant, but what it means is God uses means to bring His purposes forward. He uses missionaries to go out and proclaim the gospel and uses their words, their prayers, their songs, their soccer games, their VBS projects, their whatever. He uses means. And God can use other means as well. He can use disasters. He can use other means to bring about what He has planned. Because you see, He, of His own will, freely and unchangeably ordains whatever comes to pass. You might hear some of your young people say now and then, whatever. That's not a good use of the word, whatever. This is an important use of the word, whatever. It speaks directly to a sovereign God. Chapter 5 goes along a similar vein. Listen to this. God, the great creator of all things, doth uphold, direct, dispose, and govern all creatures, actions, and things, from the greatest even to the least, by His most wise and holy providence, according to His infallible foreknowledge and the free and immutable counsel of His own will, to the praise of the glory of His wisdom, power, justice, goodness, and mercy. Do you believe that, Eagle Heights Presbyterian Church? For this is what your confession of faith says is what you believe. And I'm concerned today, I want to share a little bit, to elaborate this a little bit. There are many, many verses we could talk about, and your pastor, I'm sure, has touched on God's sovereignty many, many times in his preaching. But I'm concerned because there are many professing Christians who will say they believe in God's sovereignty, that He really is whatsoever passes God. But when it comes down to accepting God's work in their lives, it's like a small s of sovereignty, a little s. Not a huge S, that God really does, is involved in everything that comes to pass. And so as we press on this morning in my brief time together, I hope you might be asking yourself the question, well, where do I fit in that spectrum? Do I really believe God is a sovereign God with a capital S and that He ordains whatsoever comes to pass? Or have I lived, and do I really profess a smaller type of sovereign God, which is an oxymoron if you do. So today, I'd like to then take the Word of God and turn to Proverbs 16:9. It's written on the back of your bulletin, and you can follow along in your Bible if you like, or read along there. And focusing particularly on one verse this morning. Listen to God's Word speak to you. Now the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. For the Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked, for the day of trouble. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured he will not go unpunished. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. Now when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him, and better is a little righteousness than great revenues with injustice. And then the writer comes back kind of to the thoughts of the first couple of verses when he says, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Let's pray. Father, as I've prayed already this morning, may my words be your words. Lord, I also pray that you might take these words of yours, imperfectly given, and that your Holy Spirit might prick the hearts of those who need pricking. That you might encourage those who need encouragement today. That you might lift up those who might be distressed and downhearted at their lot in life. At some events that maybe have taken place this week that have discouraged them. Lord, I pray that these thoughts today might have them leave here, praising God who is involved in whatsoever comes to pass. And in Jesus' name, his grateful people said, Amen. Surprise! Surprise! How many of you, I'll explain that in a minute, how many of you like surprises? I don't know congregations very well, just like to know how many of you kind of like surprises. About six of you? Eight of you? Let me ask you this, how many of you like positive surprises? Okay, a few more of you would raise your hand. But there are both kinds, aren't there? Positive and negative surprises. This was a humorous and positive surprise. That would have been a real... I'd love to have seen your face when you opened up this tinfoil and trying to brush your teeth. And if you tried to brush those cavities, you would have been in pain, too, because aluminum foil doesn't go well with silver fillings. But my wife likes surprises, but she likes only certain kinds of surprises. She does not like a surprise when I stand behind a door at night and she's walking through the house and I jump out and I say, I love you! She doesn't... Or surprise! She does not like that kind of surprise. But she does like it when I bring home flowers for an unexpected reason. It's not an anniversary or a birthday or anything. She loves that kind of surprise, as I'm sure most of you do as well. I mean, think about surprises. Life really is, isn't that what life is all about? Because you and I do not know what's coming the next minute, do we? Missionaries are brought by sovereign God to a calling that is absolutely full of incredible surprises. And you've heard some of those surprises this week, those of you who have been here. You've heard about a conversion surprise for a man living in Japan. You've heard surprises of people who were in Africa and the seed had been planted, and then they were surprised to see a man come to Christ. You've seen surprises of young people coming back in Spain and being surprised by the joy and the warmth that they had receiving you. And as we sat around last night, for example, in a little fellowship evening, we were encouraged and surprised by some of the answers and comments of the questions that were given and taken in that meeting last night. Life is really a life full of surprises. And the question is, are you willing to receive all the sovereign surprises that are coming your way? That's the question, because we just read about how God is ordains whatever comes to pass. And so God is intimately involved, we believe, in our lives. But how intimately, and how do you take it when God surprises you in ways you didn't expect or didn't want? Think about those things. And the verse I want to use is Proverbs 16:9. In his heart, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. I call this my sovereign surprise verse. And I use it a lot with chaplains, who are the real missionaries that are in focus today, from my perspective, from my job. And because I say, look, the Christian life is full of surprises anyway, my friend. But if you want to be high adventure surprised, you become a chaplain or a missionary. And you're going to find surprises you never even thought were possible in your life. Are you ready to receive God's sovereign surprises in your life, my young chaplain friend? Are you ready for that? And this passage, I think, gives us four things that kind of helps us understand to help prepare us for sovereign surprises and to expect sovereign surprises. And here's what I mean. I don't think Solomon wrote this as a big theological treatise here. He was just making an observation from life. The heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord determines his steps. He says four things that I think are an important part of this passage, and I divide up the passage that way, about our heart, about plans, about the Lord, and about God determining our steps. And if you're taking notes, I'll try and capture those as we go along here. The Bible says that the plans of the heart belong to man in chapter 16, verse 1. The implication is, all Scripture, that God's people and people in general make plans in their life. And isn't it true that when the big plans, the big decisions coming up come from our heart, right? If you propose to your wife, men, and you didn't have a proposal from your heart, then shame on you, because that's not how proposals are supposed to work. When you have a plan to ask somebody to marry you, that's coming from inside of your heart, isn't it? It ought to be, for a Christian, it would be a heart that's full of prayer and observation and analysis about this woman, and you do it from the heart. Now, the word heart in the Scripture is a big, big word. And it can be, the word heart can have to do with our soul, it has to do with the physical heart, it has to do with our being, it has to do with our personality. It goes on and on talking about our heart. And I think Solomon is just reminding us in this little verse that we ought to be careful about our heart. And I say to you, you ought to make sure you guard your heart. As you make your plans, whatever they might be, big or small, the Christian needs to be guarding his heart in those decisions and matching his heart with the Lord. Think about some of these verses, just a few that the Bible talks about to help us understand the importance of the heart. Psalm 141:4, let not my heart incline to what is evil. Your heart can go either way. Paul touches on this in Romans 7 when he says, I don't do what I do want to do and I don't do what I should do. We find that there's none righteous, no, not one. We find that our heart has inclinations. And the Bible says, Lord, help me. Let not my heart incline to what is evil. Proverbs 16:5 says, the Lord detests the proud of heart. Proverbs 15 talks about a happy heart, a discerning heart, and one who brings joy to the heart. Good words bring joy to the heart. Proverbs 16:21, the wise in heart are called discerning. Proverbs 16:23, a wise man's heart guides his mouth. Matthew 22, Jesus said, love the Lord with your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, quoting from the Old Testament. He also said of the Pharisees, their heart is far from me. It comes to the parable of the sower. Jesus said, the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and pure heart. All throughout the Bible, you see this contrast of a heart maybe inclined to evil and a heart that's inclined to good. And God seeks those. In Ephesians 3, Paul says, may God grant you to be strengthened with power so that Christ may dwell in your heart. And don't we, in our circles, as we've even prayed this morning, don't we talk about being a Christian is having Christ in your heart and your being. And we need to guard that heart if we claim that Christ is there, don't we? 1 Samuel, the Lord sought out a man after his own heart. It said to Saul about the coming king David. Wouldn't that be nice if we knew that would be said of us? We get to heaven. Welcome, Jane, Joe, Matthew. A person after my own heart. Plans are made by us every day, little and big. I think the Christian, though, needs to understand that. And you make plans, you want this plan to be pleasing to a sovereign God. You want your little plans to fit in with His big plans, and you seek His advice and His will and His power, and you want that to happen. So I think the Bible also says, delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. We could go on. This is worth a whole sermon just on heart, or two or three. But Solomon begins here when it comes to this business of sovereign surprises, begins with our heart. And if your heart is matching the Lord's, if you're making your decisions each day, they say, Lord, I want my heart to match yours today. Help me make the decisions that are pleasing to you and and favor me, please, with your blessing on this heart. If that's the attitude with which you approach each day, you're going to be mightily blessed when it comes to wrestling with those stinkers at work that are giving you trouble. If you're approaching a day with a perspective of, Lord, help me to respond properly to the people in my life that are difficult, to the family member giving me difficulty, whatever it happens to be. But Solomon goes on to say, look at my friends, the heart of man plans his way. The scripture doesn't say a lot about man's plans, but it has a lot to say about God's plans. He has plans from before the foundation of the earth. He planned to create the world, and he did, and big plans. And I think the implication there is that since God makes plans, we ought to make plans too, and that's why Proverbs says, you know, the plans of a heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Commit your work to the Lord, your plans will be established. There are verses like that that encourage us to make plans. Here's my concern for us on this Mission Sunday. Are you making big plans? Serving with a sovereign God? What kind of plans are you making each day? Not all of us are called to the mission field. You've got your own work to do, and God calls good employees to work with excellence to show that God is to show that you're desiring to please God, and secondly, man. He calls us to different fields. But when you make your plans, are you making big S sovereign matching plans, or are you making little tiny plans? Tiny plans would be something along the lines of each day all you're thinking about is when can I get the brakes fixed, and how am I going to get the next bill paid? You have to make plans for those things. They're not unimportant. But are you also, a part of your life, Christians, is part of your plan that you're making some plans to impact this world for the kingdom? Somehow or other. I fear, as Dr. Francis Schaeffer once said, beware, he says, people are basically going to be interested in their personal peace and prosperity. And isn't that true? All of us are inclined to just want to be at peace. We hate the political stuff that's so frantic and so on. I know it frustrates you up here, even in Winchester. And it frustrates us that there's wars and the rumors of war continue and so on, but what plans are you making? I think in this Mission Sunday, I think it's a good time for anybody in a church who claims to follow Jesus Christ to just ask the question, Lord, am I making the right plans? You know, I'm trying to match my heart with yours. Are my plans big enough to match such a sovereign God as you? Lord, I know that your plans are mysterious. I can't imagine how they all go together, but Lord, I want to make plans that make a difference. And I talk to you young people especially. I've already seen in some of the reports this week that some of you are making some big plans. You're thinking about how you can impact the world down the road for Jesus. That's very exciting. And I hope whatever your plans are for the future, young people, I hope you're thinking about what God would think about those plans and how you would fit into that. And if you want to be a physical therapist, then you be the best Christian physical therapist there ever was, or whatever it happens to be. But young people, are you making plans with God's in mind? Because He makes plans, and He's got some things planned for you, and you want to match those. Make big plans. That's my cry to you this morning. Match your heart with the Lord's, and whatever you're planning, try and make them big plans. But there's a third phrase in this verse that's really important. Before I share that, let me explain to you that I had my first big sovereign surprise when I was 19 years old and I was in college. I was going to be drafted for sure. I had a low draft number. Those of you, many of you know that. And my number was 55. If you had a number under 120, you were going to go to Vietnam. So I thought, all right, I'm going to go to Vietnam. That's fine. I like to serve my country. My dad was a World War II vet, so I will go as an officer, and I joined ROTC at the University of Minnesota. You see, in my heart, I had my plans. And I was a Christian, and I wanted to serve the Lord, but I also wanted to serve my country. So I had my plans. And wouldn't you know it, halfway through, you have to apply for a scholarship for the junior, senior year. And they called me in one day and they said, Cadet Lee, yes, sir, I'm sorry to tell you, you can't be in the military. Whoa, what? Yes, sir, you had a physical and showed you had a congenital back defect in your fifth lumbar vertebrae. I didn't know where the vertebrae was, hardly the fifth lumbar vertebrae. What? You need people to go to Vietnam. I don't have any injuries. I play sports. There's nothing wrong with me. And I was too dumb and green to get, is there a second opinion? Can I see the x-rays? Is there a waiver? I just was told I couldn't be in the military. Now, let me tell you, That was a big blow and a big sovereign surprise. And I wasn't sure what to do. I was in college, but didn't really know what I wanted to do. I was going to be an officer. And all of a sudden, my plans had a "but the Lord" moment. Doug, yes, you had some plans. I know they were heartfelt. And now, I didn't know this at the time, by the way. I wasn't thinking all this theological stuff then. But what he was saying was, "But I'm intervening, Doug, because I'm determining your steps." Now, let me ask you as a survey question again. How many of you have had a "but the Lord" experience in this church? In your life? Yeah. If we had time, and we could sit around and you could tell some of the God's sovereign surprise stories in your life, you'd be absolutely amazed and incredible. You'd be amazed at what God has been doing in people's lives. And I had a "but the Lord." You can think for a moment, can't you, of some of the people in the Scriptures who had a "but the Lord" experience? Let's start with, let's say, Noah. Noah, what we believe, was an agrarian-type person, presumably. And then God comes along, and Noah's minding his own business, already an old man. And God says, "Okay, my friend Noah, I see you're a righteous man." His heart was matching the Lord, wasn't it? That's what the assumption is in the Scriptures, that his heart was in tune with the Lord. Even though Christ hadn't come, he was trusting in a sovereign God in the only a way that those folk could understand it. And God comes along and says, "All right, Noah, you're going to build an ark." "Really, Lord? I have got to get my crops in, Lord. That's my plan, to get my crops in, get my kids all taken care of here. No, I want you to build an ark. And then it's going to rain. And all, by the way, it's going to be filled with animals. And the whole earth's going to be judged because of their sin and iniquity. But I'm going to save you and your family." All hints, by the way, of Jesus, the ark, and his covenant family, and the gospel all woven in there. And Noah had a "but the Lord" experience, didn't he? Because a sovereign God had some plans for him. Let's think about another guy maybe you have heard about. His name is Joseph. Did he have a "but the Lord" experience when he was going out showing off his new coat that his dad made him? And he was real proud of that coat, presumably. And the brothers were jealous. And you know what happened next? Time after time in the book of Genesis, we see sovereign surprises interrupting Joseph's life, don't we? Joseph. At lunchtime today, or tomorrow, the next day, as a family or a couple, see if you can identify more "but the Lord" surprises in the Bible together. See how many you can come up with. I'll give you one last one, which is so obvious, and it's, how about Mary being surprised? Now, when she first heard she was pregnant, that was not a particularly positive surprise. In her culture, in her day, it's still not a positive surprise, generally speaking. But she was favored by the Lord, wasn't she? We don't know about her heart, but evidently the Lord saw something in her, not because she was working any way of salvation, but he recognized her as a woman of, he wanted, in his plan, he wanted her to be a part of his bigger plan. And so she gave birth to Jesus, who, by the way, surprised a few others along the way. And I'll bet you might have a story here today about how he surprised you, Jesus, when he said to you, "Come, follow me. Turn from your sin. Come to me." That, too, is a "but the Lord" experience. You can maybe think of other, the Bible's full of "but the Lord" stories, and I think you have to really think about God's sovereignty in this light, that there's a "but the Lord." We don't know God's huge, sovereign, capital S, sovereign plan, but he has one, and you want to get to know it, and so you make your plans and see how that turns out, because some of this is unknown to us, and we go ahead and make our plans to please a sovereign God. And then there's a "but the Lord" that comes along. Now let me say this. Most of God's "but the Lord" surprises are positive. They really are. And we all like positive surprises. But many people in this congregation I know, have had some surprises that weren't so positive. One of the worst for us was when one of our granddaughters died in our home. And she was diagnosed with a fatal disease called spinal muscular atrophy, unbeknownst to us, this was a disease that is the number one killer of kids under two. You don't hear about it because they're gone. Now, I did not plan in my heart to outlive my grandchildren. Their third child was also born with that disease. That was not a plan we had in mind either, nor especially for my son and wife, daughter-in-law. She's now 10, however, because of God's grace and because of their incredible medical care for her. But it's tough because other surprises have come along into their life that have tested their marriage dramatically, and those kind of sovereign surprises are coming our way too. Some of you in this room have experienced physical challenges that have distressed you and were definitely a surprise to you. And what can we say if but that God is sovereign and He ordains whatsoever comes to pass, and so we accept that, don't we? Not necessarily easily. But the Lord is a very important phrase for a Christian. Because the last part then is simply that but the Lord, you see, determines our steps. Determines our steps. I told you I was kicked out of the army, right? Couldn't be in the army. It was not on my radar. Well, I don't have time to tell you about other sovereign surprises that then came into being through that, like marriage, like actually having a degree, like going to a place in Switzerland for a honeymoon called La Brie Fellowship, which is a Christian community there that we didn't know much of because I was not Presbyterian. I was Pentecostal. And all of a sudden, we heard about this man who was a Presbyterian, who was a really interesting guy, and challenged us with some theology stuff that I didn't particularly like. But eventually, I had to say, but the Lord, you know, did talk about some of these things like election, and He ordains whatsoever comes to pass. All that was new to me. Wasn't sure I believed it. And then that led to seminary. Now, you have to understand, as I told Torpies, I didn't want to be a minister. That was not part of my goal. I thought ministers, Clint, were irrelevant. I didn't want to be a minister. They had strange cars and odd wives. I just didn't want to be part of that world. And I never had a personal relationship with one. And I thought where it was at was parachurch ministry. And so we were going to be parachurch ministers someplace and using my degree, which was in radio and television production. Well, surprise! We get to Covenant Seminary and I learned there were prerequisites. And we'd be there a whole lot longer than I thought we'd be there for a one-year master's program. And wouldn't you know, at the end of that time, I got a literal phone call from a church that said, would you like to be our associate pastor? You mean reverend? Yes. I had my plans, and Nancy with me, but the Lord intervened. All of a sudden, I found myself with a reverend in front of my name. And then I was a pastor in Seattle, and I was looking for a way to be involved in the community. So I had my plans, maybe a school board, maybe even doing an elected job or something, or working in prisons, you know, being involved in the community like pastors enjoy doing. And then one of my friends said, well, you ought to check the reserve army military chaplaincy. And I said, I can't, Steve. I got a congenital back defect on my fifth lumbar vertebrae. They won't take me. Well, long story short, a National Guard unit near my church had a chaplain vacancy. They encouraged me to apply. I did. I raised my right hand, and I was in uniform the next 31 years. Now that was a but the Lord surprise, believe me. Because it was completely off my radar. And I wasn't perfect by any means in matching my heart with the Lord's, but I was trying to be pleasing to Him and so on, and He opened up that door for me. And many other sovereign surprises have there been along the way. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you. And the implication there is, so do you want to know what they are, my friend? Do you really want to know that? So match your heart with mine. Make some plans, because you don't know what I've got in store for you. Make your plans. Work it out. But remember, I am a sovereign God with a capital S, and I can but the Lord you anytime I want. Butt you out of the way. How about that? Because I determine your steps. Now, believe me, there's a lot of mystery to all this, isn't there? But isn't it comforting to know whether it might be seemingly good or seemingly ill for us, God is involved in this life. And your circumstances of life, whether physically or financially or otherwise, might be troublesome to you, might be frustrating. Maybe you have other frustrations with a good job, but you've got a terrible place to work and people who are just, you know, you're just frustrated with. One of my sons is like that. He's got a wonderful job, but there's some frustrating people with whom he works. And you just have to wonder how God wants you to organize yourself in a situation like that. But I find a verse like this tremendously comforting. So what does that mean? I think it means several things for us as God's people. That, number one, it means, I think this is a verse also about perspective. How do you approach each day? Is it, you might be tired and fatigued, but you raise up to each day with, Lord, I know there are surprises out there for me today. I'm ready to receive them. Bring them on. Bring them on. Lord, they might not be what I'm looking for. They might not be the kind of surprise I want. I might not get accepted to that school I'm looking for, or I might not get the job I want, but Lord, I don't know what's up, Lord, but I'm ready to receive your sovereign surprises. That's in contrast to people going through a day, their arms folded and saying, Lord, I've got my plans today, so I'd prefer not to be bothered by your but the Lord's. I have things to do, people to see. I don't want to make that phone call to my estranged sister. I don't want to talk to that guy or girl at work. I just don't want to. I want to talk to my boss. I don't want to really discipline my child, see where he needs to be. Lord, I'd just rather do it my way. Maybe some of you have experienced that kind of a morning. Others are more casual about it, and it's sort of like they get up in the morning and, you know, hey, Lord, whatever comes, but they're really looking for the positive things only, and they're not really expectant. So, dear Presbyterian friends and others who are here, you may not quite be Presbyterians, but you're with us theologically. How are you approaching each day? Are you helping your children, parents, understand this working of a sovereign God in your family? When your kids are acting up and they are discouraged about who they are, what they're going through, and so on, do you help them understand that the sovereign God is at work here and it takes some time, but let's work on it together and let's pray about this and let's sing about it and let's talk about this, kids? Are you helping your kids understand there's a sovereign God in the heavens who's watching down and looking out for us? Are you making big plans? Now, your big plan might not be the same as his big plan, you know. We're talking about something that's focused for you and your skills and your desire, but are you at least trying to make a difference for the kingdom where you live? I would suggest to you that one of the surprises you've all experienced is you're in a neighborhood, and some of you didn't exactly know why you're in that neighborhood. Well, surprise, you might be there for a sovereign surprise reason, not known to you yet. Maybe you got the job you have because of one person who might be there that you could touch because, and you haven't even, don't even know who they are yet, but your antenna has not been up because you've been looking for other surprises, not sovereign surprises. Who knows? It's perspective in life. And I think somebody who has given their life to Jesus Christ and, as C.S. Lewis said, been surprised by joy, oftentimes we don't act as if we're surprised by God's sovereignty. And lastly this morning, those of you who are here may not have been so far surprised by Jesus Christ in your life. Surprised that he would take away all of your sin. Surprised that you could be actually forgiven no matter what you've done, what you've thought, how you act. Some of you may not have been surprised that and know that a life can be changed and a different direction can be yours because you now have put your trust in a sovereign God and his son Jesus, who has plans for you. Maybe this could be the day of surprise for you, where you would turn your life over to Jesus Christ and then enjoy his surprises that end in glory and eternity someday. If you're in that category, my friends, I hope you would not leave here. When you leave, if you leave here and you reject Jesus, you're essentially saying, you're essentially saying this: God, you may exist, but you know, I got my plans. Don't bother me. That's not good for you, eternally or now. So there we are. We had a statement of faith, a confession of faith that says, whatsoever comes to pass, God, the creator of all things, doth uphold, direct, dispose, and govern all creatures, actions, and things, from the greatest even to the least. Let's pray. Father in heaven, there's so much about you that we want to know. And we agree that we know so little of who you really are. But Lord, it's clear from these scriptures and many, many others that you are a sovereign God. You are involved in our life, the great things and the little things. You bring to us, you can bring to us and allow in our lives disaster as well as blessing. Lord, help us to receive your sovereign surprises with grace and joy, and maybe sometimes tears. For you are a mighty God. And it's in your mighty Son's name we pray. Amen.